William Hopley, your favorite videographer from Two Hats Publishing. I welcome you to another Two Hats special of community events. Let's look in and see what's really happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink. And we don't have a guest today. We have Josh in the studio with us helping us put this all together. This is going to be a good show.
It always is.
I put it out on Facebook, what would you like us to talk about? And one friend said, well, I really wish I could listen. And so I said, well, if you're not in the area, you could listen on KNON.org. And he said, no, David, I'm deaf. And I said, oh, right, David, I'm an idiot. So I'm thinking, yeah, we're off to a good start.
Well, we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of things we haven't covered because, you know, we've had guests on the show and stuff. But this week has just been chock full.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron kind of laughs at me because I always say, let's watch this movie. It's chock full of stars. And she says, that doesn't mean it's a good movie.
So where do you want to
start? It's chock full of news this week.
Do you want to start with Baton Rouge because that's the latest news today?
Yeah, and you know, what's unfortunate, this is the third show we've had to start with really awful news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that weekend, it happened.
So this happened just this morning,
just
about 9 a.m. Three police officers are dead. Seven are wounded. Two suspects are still at large. I just checked before we came into the studio.
They're dead or in custody. There were three.
Okay.
One of the suspects?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, Baton Rouge is the city where the first of the two shootings took place that has prompted the latest round of Black Lives Matters protest demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not justifying it by that, killing more people by that, but there's a lot of anger in that city, I would think.
Right.
Although Dallas was mischaracterized in some national news reports too, and I don't want to mischaracterize them.
Well, this is saying that there are three officers killed and three people wounded.
Okay, so, and what about the seven officers wounded? Is that an old report that's not true?
Apparently so, because
okay, good.
They're not saying that's what's happened now.
Good. And this comes at the end of, and we're not quite finished, because one of the officers is going to be from Dallas is going to be flown up to Michigan to be buried, but the five funeral services in Dallas, memorial services, were held on Wednesday and Thursday. On Tuesday, President Obama and President Bush were here at the Meyerson. I got my White House press credentials to get into that.
That was pretty cool. I was saying that you need to present those in order to get into the KNON studio.
We had our KNON meeting that night. We have a semi-annual staff meeting, and I was there. I showed it to them, and it's like, that's right, KNON. And the White House. But do you know what came out of the KNON meeting? As diverse as this station is, and as varied as our crew and our on-air people and our shows are, this city needs us more now than they ever have.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
We are the voice of the people. And we have all, when we say people, we mean
everybody.
Kind of people.
Everybody.
Everybody. Everybody.
Yes.
And sometimes on some shows, we have a little bit of everybody on those shows, too. I mean, it's perfect. Lauren did the Jewish Music Hour a few weeks ago.
Because you can't get any more.
Why not?
Why not? Why not?
You know, and the rabbi's opinion of that was, thank you.
Yes.
I needed somebody to fill in that day. Thank you.
That's right.
But on Tuesday, during the day, the president and the former president were here. I was able to get in. I did pass somebody from ABC News that I knew. He was outside. He called me, and I said, oh, hi. And we talked for a few minutes. I hadn't seen him in about 10 years. And I said, you'll have to excuse me. I'm one of the people invited inside. Glad we had nice weather for you today. Meanwhile, you know, he lives in New York, I think, so he's just sweating in, you know.
Yeah,
but, welcome to Texas.
At least his crew was that was there and the reporters. So afterwards, I came outside and I said, I have a scoop for you. President Obama just signed an executive order banning all handguns.
You didn't.
I said, so you can just run with that, okay? And he said, yeah, thanks, David. I said, no, really. And you might want to go on the air now. I'd like to hear that. They didn't.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my reputation precedes me. But inside, the service was wonderful.
And I watched it live.
Okay, now, here's what,
yes, it, Aaron.
Here's what the biggest criticism was. Boy, did George Bush look strange. And I saw, we took pictures inside, and in every picture, we have odd faces, we have really funny, contorted looks. I looked at the video of it in some places, and boy, did he, inside, it just looked normal. You know what it reminded me of? When Howard Dean
yeah,
had the scream, and you said, inside the room, he just said, yay, or something, you know. And it was big deal.
We couldn't hear him in the room. Yeah. And when Howard Dean did the so-called scream.
And that's what this was. The funny part was Michelle Obama and George Bush, I don't want to say they were cutting up through the whole thing.
She was not.
Yes, she was. Oh, yes. Not cutting up, but he would make a comment to her, and then she just... on the hand, or then there was she grabbed his hand, and then she leaned over and whispered something to him. Yes, she did. Who pulls it off better? She does. You know, she's gorgeous in person. I mean, I'd never seen her in person before. She's absolutely gorgeous and graceful. And when the Obamas were walking off the stage, he grabbed her hand. And one of the people sitting next to me from, it was an international press person, he said, yep, they still love each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a casual, obvious thing. The funny part was for the last song, which was Battle Hymn of the Republic, George and Michelle were already holding hands sitting down. So they just kind of jumped up together. Laura gave them this look. Barack gave them this look, but they both stood up with them, grabbed hands.
I think Michelle was holding his hand to control his hand. He was dancing.
That's how I interpret it.
I mean, I don't think we should linger on this too much. But
anyway.
But he was beat red through the whole thing. I mean, when the camera panned to him, he was beat red before he got up to speak. And then he said, you know, and he was acknowledging President Obama and Mrs. Obama. Mrs. Obama. And I was like, oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, just one more comment on it. I said to the person I was with who's doing the photography, I said, pan over to Eddie Bernice Johnson. She just got up and held Ted Cruz's hand. He's going to explode. He didn't. Anyway, it was a gorgeous service inside. And it's interesting what comes across on camera is not what we saw in there. And none of us did. I mean, I'm sitting with a whole row of reporters, and none of us did. But it was a beautiful service. And it was very healing. The first five rows were families of the officers. And each time anybody came in, everybody stood.
That's really awesome. Yeah. And I have to say, I've never been more proud of our mayor than in the last 10 days.
He's done a fabulous job.
Amazingly. Yeah. Amazing. I went to the Thanksgiving Square service. He was extraordinary there. Mm-hmm. He talked, his big message was, yes, we can hold two thoughts in our head at the same time, mm-hmm. That we support the victims who've been killed by police. We support the officers who've been killed. Mm-hmm. we can have those two thoughts at the same time without one, you know, it has to be one or the other. It can, right. doesn't have to be that. We can have both. And, you know, this is a guy, remember, that my organization, the Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance PAC, had given a warning on because he would put business interests above civil rights in his first election. And then we didn't endorse him in the second election. And we've been struggling with him. He had lots of trouble in the LGBT community because he wouldn't sign that marriage equality thing. But I tell you what, he has really come around and gotten the whole issue that this isn't about business. This is about a city of people. You know, of real human beings.
You can't do business if you don't have your civil rights.
That's right. And you can't do business if you don't connect with the people and we're not united together. You know, I mean, that is a priority in our city. And he has really, he's mm-hmm. picked that up and he has run with it and he has just been extraordinary. I mean, his speeches have just been amazing. The way he's delivered his speeches, he's just been, you know, just the pillar of dignity and grace and leadership. I've just been so amazed by him.
Normally it would be a governor who would invite somebody to the state. Obviously, ours didn't. But because of Obama's connection with Mike Rawlings during the Ebola crisis, mm-hmm. they were in touch. But during that refugee crisis, when Dallas County had offered to house a certain number of refugee children, mm-hmm. and there was that big meeting and a wonderful picture of Obama laughing and
Elba Garcia
laughing and Clay Jenkins laughing and Mike Rawlings laughing and Rick Perry sitting there with a scowling look.
Right, right.
They connected. I mean, they obviously connected, and Obama just learned this is a place that has the same goals he does. So Mike Rawlings got on the phone and said, please come to Dallas next week, and Obama did. And it was really because of that friendship they developed, I think.
I think so, too. And, you know, something else that happened earlier this week was that the presidential town hall that was aired on several different networks. Mm-hmm. And one of the first questions came from Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Yeah, he was invited on purpose.
And, boy, he lectured. He wagged his finger and lectured to the president about thinking before he speaks. I'm like, what?
Right, exactly.
you're telling him
right,
to
right.
think before he speaks.
Right.
And that he needed to be more... you know, to praise the police more, and like President Obama's just staring at him like, what? Because he does. Did he take him to school when Patrick sat down? He did. He took him to school and really told him, he says, every time I speak, my first thoughts are with the police. You know, and anyway, it was just great to see him put in his place because it was outrageous what he mm-hmm. said. But I was surprised he was that, well-mannered in front of the president. But what we did notice was when it was ending, the president got up to shake hands with all the people in the front row, and Dan Patrick stuck his hand out first. He wanted to shake his hand. So.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. So,
I just found out part of this whole thing, you know, with the unfortunate ambush of the police officers here in Dallas, it's like we can't even mourn together. Because I think that's part of the problem with, you know, American society in general. We always have to pick a side. Like, I saw all these arguments on Facebook and social media about whose speech was better.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of. Whose speech was better?
Yeah, was it Bush or was it Obama?
Bush or,
Obama's was too long.
Obama's was too long. Bush.
Oh. Couldn't he have stopped without saying anything about
Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. It's like, you know what? I'm not regardless if you're a fan of either, they were both mourning together. Can't we just leave it at that?
Mm-hmm.
They put aside their differences for the sake of mourning these officers. Can't we do that? And no, and so we just have this culture of we have to pick one side or another because everything is so about a competition, it seems like. So mean-spirited.
Like, I'm right and you're wrong.
Exactly.
Constantly. Constantly.
You can probably quote the last time I said something nice about George Bush, right?
Oh, I don't even remember one.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was so appropriate in his speech. He was heartfelt. I don't know how it came across to people just watching it on TV. In person.
It came across like
he
that.
Was, but he was speaking right to that first five rows, and they felt it.
Oh, Obama. His speech, when he got up to speak, I thought, and just watching it on TV, that it was an extraordinary speech. Mm-hmm. If you listen to some of the lines in it, they're really, really
yeah.
good.
They
Where
really
was
were.
That guy for I, 8 years?
That's what I thought. That's exactly what uh-huh. I thought. Where was this? Where were you?
Where was that guy?
Where was this guy turning when you were on the...
He was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Give credit where credit
yeah.
is due.
You know, and you know what? Everybody who I've heard, yeah, but he's a war criminal. You know what? He's still an ex-president, and until he's indicted on something, he's still an ex-president. He did a great job that day.
And he lives right here in our community.
He does. He's know? Part of our community.
The line that I liked that he gave was, we all lost five members of our family. He said, I knew them. They've protected me.
So,
and when he was saying that, he looked... Your family, your family, your family, your family, and your family. Your family member that died protected me. I'm talking personally. I knew them. And even if they were just on one detail, you know, 4 years ago, he doesn't mean it literally, but he does mean it. I mean, he meant that very sincerely.
Oh, yeah.
And then Obama's speech... How would you describe, Patty, how it came across on TV? What was his feeling for the day?
I think he was mournful. I saw and felt a lot of sorrow from him that this was happening and this had happened. But I also felt that he needed and wanted to bring up and talk about some topics, frankly, and very frankly, with the American people,
mm-hmm.
and used that moment to recognize all of these issues that had come to the fore and then sort of burst open in a really raw way. And he wanted to put some context around them and about how we move forward.
And in the room, the feeling I got was he was frustrated. He was sad and mournful, all those things that you said, but above all, he was just frustrated. I have to go to another one of these things.
Yeah.
And it's not about me having to go. It's a matter, you know, because...
We keep doing this to ourselves.
Yeah. Mike Rawlings invited him. He wouldn't have thought of not coming. He cut a trip to Europe
short
in order to be there. But he was frustrated. Let's take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis and the late Patty Fink, and my voice is just cracking. Maybe after the break, it'll be back.
This is Rollins Gellin, and I'm listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3, and darn glad to be doing it.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis and the late Patty Fink. Patty, some polling numbers.
Yeah, well, we were just talking in the break about the fact that in the midst of all of this that happened Tuesday that we just discussed in the first segment, Bernie Sanders endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll have a major speaking role. I believe he speaks Monday night of the convention, which will be a week from tomorrow night.
Oh, we'll talk about who's speaking next week in a minute.
Oh, yeah. But to that end, there was some interesting polling, and as our listeners may know, and if you don't, then this is important to remember, national polling means nothing in a presidential election. It really does. It means nothing because it's a state-by-state
right.
thing, and it's electoral votes.
Exactly.
All of that. So we need to look at state polling. And so Ohio and Pennsylvania had some polling done this week, you know, some really big ones. This is NBC, Wall Street Journal, Marist poll. Excuse me.
Now, before you tell us the results, is this pre or post Donald Trump announcing his VP pick this week?
Before. This would be before.
Okay.
But it's really interesting to see the breakdowns and the crosstabs, you know, the detail within it. But overall, this is from Pennsylvania. Of Pennsylvania registered voters, Hillary's leading 45 to 30.
Patty, would you like a cough drop back?
I don't think she wants to share.
We were just talking about that in the break. 45 to 36.
Okay.
So she's pretty well ahead. But what's really interesting is that...
And that was in Pennsylvania, you said?
Pennsylvania.
Okay.
What's really interesting is that for what they... for how the registered voters self-identify, she's 12% of... Is it 12%? I think it is. 12% of Tea Party supporters.
Of Tea Party supporters.
Tea Party supporters.
Hmm.
And she's really, really stomping him in almost every category. But this particular item is true in Ohio as well. When you break it down by race, Trump gets, in both Ohio and Pennsylvania, 0% of African Americans. Zero. And I've never seen that. I've never seen that on a poll.
Wow.
Ever.
I haven't either.
And it's happening in
Ohio.
Not even
a point?
No,
three?
Not even a point.
Did you see Saturday Night Live last night?
No. I mean, we record it, but I haven't watched it.
There was one sketch, and one of the short lines was, when Hillary wins, plan to take your African-American neighbor to dinner to thank them.
Well, it is really extraordinary to me that...
Wow, 0%.
This is the second time it's happened. It's once in Ohio and now in Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God.
And so, you know, and there are significant numbers of African-Americans in both of those
What
states.
About Ben Carson?
This is not Vermont or New Hampshire.
That's true. What about Ben Carson?
Beats me. I guess he's not living in Ohio or Pennsylvania.
Ah, I guess that's it.
You know, but a blip might not even count.
I was going to say, even if I don't know if that's still going to show up. Maybe he and his wife. Maybe that'll make it show up.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's real extraordinary.
That is interesting and mm-hmm. funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So, Mr. Bernie's supporter, what did you think of his endorsement of Hillary's speech?
You know, I don't think... kind of, or whatever, when it comes to endorsements. It was nice to hear. I don't know if it really makes a difference in the end. From the supporters that I know personally, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of them, Bernie supporters.
Yeah, because you live in that left-wing liberal suburb of Garland.
They're being pretty stubborn. They're being pretty stubborn. Now,
that's what I said. Do you live in Carl?
Yeah. Now, is that nationwide? I don't know. But
actually, one nationwide poll I saw said 85% of Bernie supporters were planning on voting for Hillary.
And that was before the endorsement.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. But no, I thought his endorsement was great as far as, you know, what he said. I heard it.
What do you think of his candidacy?
I loved it, so I voted for him.
Do you think it made Hillary a better candidate?
Of course. I thought it brought up some issues that have always been near and dear to his heart. Not saying that they're not near and dear to her heart, but there are issues that she probably wouldn't have focused on as much.
See, what I think it did was those would have been really dull debates if she was debating herself.
It would have been, and I always think it's good to have another candidate in a race. Especially something as pivotal as the presidential election.
I agree.
To keep her on her toes and make her a better candidate, mm-hmm. Because she's going to have to be on her toes, literally, you know, for months and months and months, rather than, you know, if you aren't challenged and you're not, mm-hmm. you know, held accountable for what you're campaigning on, all those months, it would have been a waste. And she would be not prepared to take on a Republican.
And you know what I really liked about, I guess, those two going head-to-head? It didn't really never really got so nasty that it gave the GOP more red meat against Hillary.
There were a few days
I don't think it got that bad. When Trump is quoting Bernie Sanders on a pretty daily basis... And I would say till the end, mm-hmm. toward the end of from June 8th, on June 15th, certainly, onward.
I thought the fight between she and Obama was much nastier.
I thought it was, too. And did you know, I didn't mm-hmm. realize this, but when Obama and Clinton ran in 2008, both of them had 48% of the vote, the popular vote. And they were within 100,000 votes of each other.
Hmm.
I mean, that was one of the closest nomination fights in the history of the presidency of the United States.
Hmm. Wow. I didn't know it was that close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obama. Just call me Bush.
Right.
So Obama was very close in number of votes, but he was way ahead in delegates. Number of delegates.
Because he had superdelegates flipped over to him, yeah.
Right.
Well, and also he had won states. Yeah. He might have the same number of votes, but it doesn't matter how big a lead you have in California.
You either won it
or you, yeah, you either won it or you didn't win it. So. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and that was part of why she finally conceded when she did.
Right, and a lot of people have been comparing the Bernie race against it, but it wasn't even the same. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even the same league.
No.
The run with Bernie was not even.
No, close. I mean they even mapped it out. Even if you change the roles, even if you did it like the Republicans do it, she still comes out ahead.
And if you take away superdelegates,
she still wins.
I mean, they did it every permutation, yeah. And it's.
I mean, me personally, it's like, you know what. Kudos, she won. My guy lost. Let's move on.
Because that's what we do.
That's what we do. Exactly.
So Thursday, exactly. Donald Trump or somebody from his campaign leaked out that it was Mike Spence. There were three other really good candidates for vice president, like...
his daughter?
Well, no, she was not a finalist, apparently.
That was a rumor circulating.
And not only wasn't she a finalist, she couldn't have been nominated. You cannot have a president and vice president from the same state, which is why when Bush nominated Cheney...
Well, Cheney nominated himself. He was over at the search committee.
Well, that's true. When Cheney nominated Cheney, one thing he had to do, because he lived he lived about two dozen blocks away from
that's
George
true.
Bush, what he had to do was say, no, that's not I live in Wyoming.
Right.
He had property there. I don't know that Ivanka has property
elsewhere.
I guess she could just take up residence in.
I don't think you can claim
Trump
yourself
Taj
to be
Mahal.
In a different state when you're in the Bahamas. You know, I just don't.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Right, right. But you're right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so she couldn't have been. Gingrich. Now, one reason that a lot of people wanted him is because between the two of them, a Trump-Gingrich campaign, there would have been six divorces or six wives.
Okay.
Let's not even go. There's so much wrong with Gingrich, and he made such a fool of himself there toward the end, desperate to be named VP.
Yeah.
And the same with Chris Christie.
Chris Christie.
And I saw this tweet that was really funny. I can't even remember exactly how they said it. It said, you know, can the pain of Chris Christie go any deeper?
I know.
The first event that Trump and Pence were going to do together was in New Jersey.
Was Christie invited?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
was Christie even invited?
Oh, probably not. You know, this is rubbing into his face.
Okay, so Slate Magazine had an article, Why Vacuous, Cowardly, Anti-Gay Mike Pence is a Perfect VP Pick for Trump. And they go on to explain several things. Here was the one point that they made that I think just says it all. Indiana passed the first RFRA, the first Religious Freedom Act, whatever. What's the other F for? Religious Freedom...
RFRA.
Or the second
R. RFRA.
Whatever.
Yeah. Religious Freedom... Something Act. Yeah. Rights Act. Yep.
Within days, it was obvious that this thing wasn't going to work. They were getting boycotted. Sports events were moving out of the state. It was really bad for business.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Pence backtracked, passed something that said... Okay, we have all these things, but you can't discriminate.
Against LGBT
right. people. Even though the law is designed to discriminate against LGBT people.
Right.
But you can't do that. And that's what's still in force right now.
Right, so instead of this law against
amending
us,
it.
Mm-hmm. the new law that he got passed and signed actually gives us protections we didn't have before they... forayed into this whole let's attack the LGBT people.
But the other law is still in existence.
Right, but we have protections so that it doesn't affect us in that.
So was that an executive order?
No, that was the law.
No, it was the law.
Okay.
That they passed the next day.
So suddenly Indiana has what Texas doesn't have, you know, because they went so far overreached into this law that to dial it back they had to put in protections for LGBT people. Kind of like with Paxton in Texas, where he did the big overreach and he was going to be charged with contempt by a federal judge. And he said, okay, then we can solve the second parent adoption issue, the birth certificates, all those
things. Transgender name changes.
Yep, all that stuff.
All
we won.
Fixed.
Because he went so far over the edge.
So here's what Slate has to say. Initially, Pence doubled down defending the bill in extremely confused terms. But when the backlash reached the boiling point, Pence agreed to fix the bill by adding a provision that explicitly prohibited it from legalizing anti-LGBT discrimination. All the while, Pence continued to paint himself as a victim of misguided and opportunistic rage, even though his willingness to revise the bill seemed to prove that its critics were right all along. Now, in retrospect, this self-made calamity was the perfect audition to become Trump's vice president. In signing the bill without, it seems, understanding exactly what he did, what it did, Pence demonstrated his willingness to sign onto his powerful ally's agenda without much critical thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what this campaign is about. Yep, we're going to build a wall, and Mexico is going to pay for it. Really?
Yeah. And it's frightening that this could be happening. And
I was talking to somebody yesterday. He said, yeah, so if there's a wall, I'll take the tunnel.
You'll take the tunnel?
Take the tunnel, because there'll be lots of tunnels underneath the Rio Grande once.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's really, really bad for women. He has a long track record of being really, really bad for women. He wanted to completely ban abortion in the state and reproductive choice in the state of Indiana. Of course, he wasn't allowed to because federally the United States Supreme Court through Roe v. Wade and some other decisions since have, you know, secured that right as a constitutional right. Mm-hmm. So he signed the anti-LGBT law. He opposes any comprehensive immigration reform and birthright for children born of immigrants here. He slashed funding for higher education to pay for corporate tax cuts. He's one of those. And when he was in the leadership in the United States House of Representatives before he became governor, let's remember there was speculation too that he was going to become the Speaker of the House at one point, but then he took the governorship.
Well, he was considered so unacceptable that they moved on to the next one.
Exactly.
They went through a whole list of people that, no, that one's not acceptable.
Exactly. And he wanted to shut down the entire federal government in order to defund Planned Parenthood nationwide. And so that, I mean, he's not good on women's issues or queer issues.
Or fiscal
or issues.
Business issues.
He's just not good.
And, you know, we saw the logo.
Which makes him the perfect running mate for Trump,
of course,
by the way.
Of course.
We saw the logo that came out, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, who didn't? Oh, my God.
And the parodying of it was just precious. I just loved it.
Yeah.
And he since changed it. It's a straight-up Trump, Pence, and
smaller. They changed it.
They have a newer logo, and they say they're going to be yet another logo that will come out this week at the convention.
They spent an hour or two making that first logo. They're just throwing out all that work.
One of my best was somebody tweeted, wow, big moment for Microsoft Paint. Because it was that poorly done. But I love, there was one where there's a photograph of Hillary Clinton squinting into a computer screen.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, this is, wow, so Pence is a bottom.
I saw that. Oh, God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Twitter had a field day with that.
Yeah. And if you go look at Connie Rosso, which we all call crack, Aaron and I do, and everyone we proselytize to, because their piece is so good, the 00 flower. But they have done a version of it on their Facebook page. So if you go by Connie Rosso's Facebook page, have a look at their profile picture. It's really good.
Interesting.
Well, the Republican convention is next week.
This week.
This
starts
week.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, starts tomorrow.
In Cleveland.
In Cleveland, yes.
Where he's batting zero with the African American community.
Yeah. And they've already dissed Ohio. You know, the deal is, if you're the host state, mm-hmm. then you get the front seats right in front of the podium mm-hmm. for all the speakers. Not so this cycle for them. Ohio's gotten bumped to another location. They're going to put California and somebody else right in front. I'm like, that's a big diss.
Wow. California's not the swing state. Ohio is.
Ohio is.
And not and the host state.
Wow.
And, you know, Cleveland gets such a bad reputation, but I love the guy who tweeted, he goes, I can think of 106 things better to do in Cleveland than to attend the Republican National Convention.
Yeah, watch the river burning.
Right.
Oh, God. We'll talk about the speakers at the convention after the break. We're going to take a break in just a minute. The lineup is absolutely amazing. And I'm not saying that in a good way.
Amazingly bad.
Like, if you put them all on one night, you'd still have time left over?
Yeah. I do want to mention one. The president of Ultimate Fighting Championship will be one of the speakers. One of the reasons that she will be speaking is because Trump suggested that one of the nights of the convention should be about sports.
He wants winners. That's his whole impetus. He wants winners.
Okay, you're going to the convention. You've been to the convention before. Are you going? You are going this year.
No,
you're not going.
No, it's the first one we're going to miss in long time.
Okay, so, but you've been to several.
Mm-hmm.
What is a night at a convention about sports even mean?
It's a great question. Now, what they've been doing in modern times in the convention, certainly in the Democratic Party, is to give a theme to every night that ties into your overall theme. And the Democrats are doing that. I mean, Hillary's thing is Stronger Together, and there are different ways of being stronger
together. So they have weightlifters one night?
Pardon me?
Weightlifters one night?
No. Gosh, no.
Oh, that's Trump who would be
but,
doing that.
You know, Trump is having trouble getting, and he's even
said, we'll
like,
talk about that after the break.
Okay.
Why don't we do that? Let's take a break.
Because there's so much to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Right. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink. We'll be back with more right after this. Take it away, Josh.
Hi, this is Beletta Lill, and I listen to Lambda Weekly. I hope that you will, too.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink. We're talking about the Republican convention. Okay, so this one is such a mess. Have we ever even talked about conventions, like, for a whole segment on this show before?
Oh, sure we have.
Oh, I think we have.
Oh, yeah, because you were going and whatever.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And Aaron and I have been to the last three. Mm-hmm. I was a delegate to Boston mm-hmm. in 2004. And then she was a delegate for Obama in 2008, which was very interesting because of my good friend Jeff Strader, who's been a guest on the show,
mm-hmm.
Is a Hillary one, and he's going again as a Hillary
this cycle.
But then Aaron was on the platform, was appointed to the platform committee by the Obama campaign mm-hmm. in 2012. And so she was in that platform committee that put marriage equality into the Democratic Party platform.
Mm-hmm. That's what we should talk about, the GOP. Platform.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Okay, well, let's do that first.
And then nationally. Yes.
Let's do that first. The national convention, because it's coming up this week.
The national one is the most anti-gay show, the most anti-LGBT platform ever. And you're probably thinking, how could they have gotten any worse? They just did.
I thought they took the push for a federal amendment out.
The ones that I remember were they're only going to recognize and recommend that adoption be by one man and one woman.
Natural born.
Yes, that's right, of natural born.
What does that mean?
My impression of the wording they gave, that was that it shut out adopted kids, it shut out single moms,
yeah.
single dads, it shut out LGBT people.
But what do you mean natural born?
Gave birth to,
right.
And I assume, see,
this is
another thing about natural born. Is it really that dad's, you know,
oh, I thought they were referring to immigration. No, that you could only adopt if you're a natural born. Okay.
No, they Who probably knows? Have that in no. there in some
Who
parent
knows?
House. Yeah.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that the log cabin's response to it, they were in shock.
Really?
Why were you shocked?
You know, what I got from that was they were in shock that this is the worst one. because a lot of them supported Donald Trump over people like Ted Cruz because they thought Donald Trump was more, not supportive of the gay community, but just didn't care. He has lots of gay people who work for him. He's always been around gay people.
He kind of blew off the whole bathroom bill bullshit.
Yeah,
he did, but he also made it very clear, I mean, repeatedly, that he was against marriage equality.
Right.
And not that he could do it, but he also has said repeatedly that if he were to get into office, when he gets in office, he's going to reverse marriage equality. Now, we know he can't do that, but still, he's pandering to that audience. So I don't get this recent... these recent media stories that somehow that Donald Trump is gay friendly.
I think they were expecting a platform that dealt with real issues.
I guess so.
No, but see, this is the Republican Party. Now Trump is sort of an uninvited guest, I guess you could say, to the Republican Party. They wanted to ax him, and I've heard some theorizing among some pundits that you know, Pence is the choice of the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
Pence is the choice of the Republican Party, not of Trump, and that's why the night before he was going to say it, he was like, "Do I have to?" You know, he mm-hmm. wanted to bow
he
out.
He wanted
of
to bow
it.
Out.
And that
of
was
that
confirmed for people
did.
In his yeah. campaign.
Wait. Pence wanted to bow out.
No.
Trump wanted to.
Trump
not,
wanted to already, choose somebody else.
Oh. Yeah,
he didn't want to do Pence and. And so that's a ringing endorsement of your choice, right?
Wow.
They didn't want to do that because the GOP, you know, the GOP pushed Pence, and then the GOP was its normal self in the platform. And in the Rules Committee, the Never Trump people were, you know, batted down like, I don't know, by 90%, 90 to 10 or something, ridiculously high. So their chances of what they wanted to do in the Rules Committee was to say, unbind all of the delegates.
Now, how would that work? These are Trump delegates that are going, a majority of them. So I'm unbinding you. You know, when Obama in 2008, when Obama was nominated, had your area, your senatorial district, voted for Clinton, you would have been the delegate. But because they voted for Obama, Aaron was the delegate. I mean, that's just the way it works. She wasn't going to change her vote if they unbinded people.
I know. I don't understand that.
It doesn't make sense.
I think they felt like, rather than, because they don't have super delegates per se, but in the Republican Party, but they felt like they could then influence some people sufficiently to move off of Trump and, you know, and vote for somebody else. Who that person might be, who knows? But their big effort to, you know, undo Trump as their nominee failed.
Oh, I think they told us who that person would have been. I think they told us that it would have been Mike Pence.
Pence. Yeah, I think pennies. I mean, that's one of the first things. That was one of the first things I tweeted was Trump Pence a bag. Trump Pence. Trump Pence.
Trump
Pence. Trump Pence a bag. You know, because that's what it is. It's,
let's talk about the speakers.
What speakers?
Tim Tebow, they announced, was going to be a speaker. He's out.
No, he did a whole video that said, I'm not speaking at the Republican National Committee. I mean, he pushed back on it big time. I was mm-hmm. like, what are you saying? I'm not doing that.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
Okay, the person who was supposed to do the invocation was Rabbi Haskell Lookstein. The week started off pretty bad for Rabbi Lookstein because a rabbinical court in Israel took up the case of somebody that he had converted, was moving to Israel, and wanted full rights for citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're Jewish, you can move to Israel and claim citizenship. The rabbinical court voted against Rabbi Lookstein, saying they couldn't confirm his credentials, and they called into question the hundreds of conversions that he has done, including Ivanka. Now, courts in Israel are liberal as can be. Rabbinical courts in Israel are run by the ultra-Orthodox. They ain't so liberal. And this is an Orthodox rabbi that they were doing this to. So then when it came out that Rabbi Lookstein was doing the invocation, of course, Reform conservative rabbis were like, oh, God. But it was the Orthodox rabbis who got together and said that this is a terrible way. You can't endorse this man. These are the Orthodox rabbis who generally vote Republican or at least very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But they probably mostly vote Republican because they're voting along with evangelicals.
Yep.
In order to get evangelical money going to Israel. And I just realized, just saying that, I'm going to get a call probably from the ADL later today. But so he's out. Anyway, he's out. They're going into the convention $8 million in debt, not the Trump campaign, the convention.
Mm.
In other words, the Democrats have been fundraising, corporations make donations. Most make a donation like in the $25,000 range, and they have hundreds of corporations that are the corporate sponsors. A few of them are in the $100,000, maybe $500,000 range. I don't even know if any of them are that high. But then they buy advertising for the convention.
Mm-hmm.
Advertising isn't selling that well, and they have $8 million in underwriting.
I heard $6 million.
Oh, is it down to six?
Yeah.
It might be down to six.
And they went to Sheldon Adelson.
Mm-hmm.
To just ask him outright for the money, and then they had to apologize for that because it was, you know, I'm sure it's like, oh, we can't get all of our sponsors, Verizon, and they listed off all these companies that we're normally going to sponsor, and they backed out and said, not putting my name on that fiasco in Cleveland. And
biggest one probably being Apple.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
no way.
You know, and so then they went to him because he's loaded, right? And
one of the biggest donors to the Republican Party.
And then they had to apologize because I'd be offended too.
Yeah, probably second biggest. The Koch brothers are probably the biggest donors. They've already said they're not supporting Trump.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. They're supporting
them.
They're supporting senators and congresspeople. They are not supporting Trump, though.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to some of the people who are speaking. Who's your favorite? I have a favorite. I have a favorite.
Go.
Calvin Klein model Antonio Sabato.
Oh, wow.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. Okay. He's my favorite of their speakers.
You know, you just stabbed me in the heart.
Did you? Oh, I was talking about Al.
Yeah, I have a huge. Well,
you have a huge crush. Get over it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have always.
Now, you know how
politics
they like Hollywood to get involved, and the last time it was Clint Eastwood who gave that absolutely. Alzheimer's type speech
to the chair.
Okay, so here's Hollywood. In addition to Antonio Sabato, it's Kimberlyn Brown. She's an actress on The Young and the Restless.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. Ooh.
Not saying anything against her. It's just that...
They're scraping the barrel. The bottom of the barrel.
That's prime time.
So where's his new sidekick, Sarah? Where's Sarah Palin?
Alaska was too far.
That's what she said. Can't come. Too far.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
She was perfectly happy to gallivant around the country. And she's endorsed Trump.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Where's she?
Well,
I mean, Alaska, they're going to have planes now?
I think she might not have been given the speaker spot she was looking for.
But they're so wide open with speaker spots. Come on.
Because everybody's dropping out. Okay, so here are some of my other favorites. Two Benghazi attack survivors will be speaking. So that this convention can be Benghazi, 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 Benghazi.
Yeah. Yeah.
All four Trump children will be making speeches.
Of course.
Now,
and if the younger grandkids could talk,
they would be up there.
They'd probably be up there too.
Each and every one of the Trump kids, in their own way, they're good speakers. They're very presentable. They make a nice impression of the family because you meet them and you want to say, okay, are you sure you're not adopted? You know, really? You came from him? But, yeah, we'll have to listen to all four of them. We don't have to listen, but they'll be on in the background as I'm doing other things. Who are some... Oh, and of the 17 presidential candidates, that were running on the Republican side.
The clown car?
Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz will be there. Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, and Scott Walker. That's it. Former Republican president.
Jeb Bush.
There were 17.
No.
Plus Trump is 5.
Wow.
12 of them are not coming.
So wow. Huckabee and Fiorina.
Yeah, where is she?
They were talking about Fiorina as a possible vice presidential candidate.
Oh.
At one point.
Wait a minute. She had already signed up to be Cruz's running mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she couldn't. Mm-hmm. She couldn't have been chosen by Trump.
She could have.
I guess.
I mean. Cruz could have been chosen as the vice presidential runner. You know,
That's true.
The others pull out, all bets are. They have one senator speaking. Two. Joni Ernst and.
She's the bread bags.
Jeff Sessions.
Bread bags and the,
three,
the hog castration.
Shelley Moore Capito. Where's she from?
Who?
Shelley Moore Capito. Okay.
That's not registering with me.
Yeah. But they have a number of congresswomen, men and women, speaking. Several governors are speaking. Ivanka will speak. Ivanka along with her brothers. Senator Mitch McConnell will speak also. He's always a knock-em-dead speaker.
That'll be scintillating.
Because you want all levels of government there. If you were going to pick an attorney general other than Ken Paxton, who would you choose? Republican. How about Pam Bondi from Florida?
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Is it going to have Joe Arpaio?
No. He has another sheriff that's going to be there, I'm sure. Let's just say it's not Loopy. I mean, this is some lineup that he has.
And just note that from this Pennsylvania poll, by party affiliation, Hillary's taking 8% of Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Probably the best known person who will be speaking during the week is Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, and he's just a lovely man.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard so many racist things come out of his mouth one week.
But it's not the first time.
No, he's been pretty racist.
Yeah,
for
a long time. Yeah. I wasn't actually
not defending him. I'm saying he's the best known person who's going to be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a drinking game right there. If he says 9/11.
Yeah, how many times does he say?
Right.
However, the president who was in charge during 9/11 won't be there.
Right, or his family.
Or his family.
In any form or fashion.
Nope.
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be, that'll be.
Interesting. Well, we got a few minutes left, but so why don't we talk about really quick just predictions on who Hillary Clinton will choose as her running mate.
Because we'll probably know by Friday. Here's what's going to happen this week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is the Republican National Convention. Thursday night will be the big Trump speech. And he wanted to do it in a big arena, but if he can't get delegates to come to their own convention, I'm not sure he wants to go to the big arena thing. And then Friday or Saturday, probably Friday, my guess is Hillary Clinton will name who her running mate will be. And then printers and T-shirt makers and all those people will work feverishly through the weekend and then get their goods to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have the convention for the Democrats Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the following week. So this week, Republicans, next week, Democrats. And she'll give her acceptance speech Thursday night, so the last night of the convention.
Okay, so
the vice president
will accept first, right?
Right.
What if then she decides not to accept the nomination?
That ain't going to happen.
Right.
But then, I'll tell you what, the second she finishes her speech, since Trump will have finished, when she finishes her speech, we are in the general election.
Yep, we are.
That is the break point between the primary and the general. When she finishes her acceptance speech, she is the official nominee. She's accepted the nomination. She is on the ticket, and it's off and running until November.
So who do you pick, or who do you think she'll pick?
I would love for her to pick Cory Booker.
I've heard of that name. That would be awesome.
He's amazing.
He is.
He's just amazing.
I got a feeling, like, I got a feeling she might pick Kane from Virginia.
I don't like Kane. I just don't like him.
But they seem to rub elbows a lot.
Yeah, but I just don't like it. He has...
It took a while for him to come around on our issues, but he did.
I don't think it's going to be Bernie at all.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
And then secondly, I don't think she's going to choose Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah,
no, I don't think that's going to happen either.
And even though he's not on the short list, my choice was San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro.
Oh, you don't think he is on the short list?
Not the list that I saw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she even vetted a rear admiral from the Navy, a retired rear admiral, who I've not heard of either. Stravira, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like a Greek name, who I've not heard of. I don't know anything about him. But I don't know. I don't know who she's going to pick. Yeah, it's tough to say. But I have heard that she's not going to choose somebody that will specifically benefit her in the election. She wants to choose somebody she can work with and who would be competent to be president should anything happen to her.
It needs to be both.
Right. It needs to be both, but her first priority is...
The thing about all three of them that we mentioned, I would think that she could get along great with Julian Castro. I think he would be a wonderful president. Tim Kaine, perfectly qualified. Cory Booker, again, certainly qualified. So, you know, I get what you're saying, but I think she has some good choices there. And it'll be interesting to see who she does pick.
Well, there are several Latino congressmen who are on her list. Becerra is one of those from California. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we'll see.
We'll find out before
the next show.
8 years ago, we chose Sarah Palin before the convention, so let's see if we're right among us which one.
Right.
We'll be back next week with more Land Weekly.
This is William Hopley, your favorite videographer from 2X Publishing. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you like it, please leave comments below, or like, follow, or subscribe to us and get notices on all our videos. We love it, even when you call.